This is Laura Korish from the Church of St. Andrew in Newtown, and you are listening to WISP in Doylestown and Philadelphia, and WCOJ in Coatesville. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.
I saw my Lord this morning.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. It's great to be back here. Again, my name is Joe Montone, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. It's been, our 14th broadcast is today, so it's been quite a few terrific broadcasts we've had prior to today. And today we have a great show planned for you with a special guest, Mr. Gary Ruffin, who will be with us on the air in just about 5 minutes. And before we get started, I just want to say that this show today is dedicated to Officer John Yeager of the Falls Township Police Department. Officer Yeager has been a tremendous, and positive example for many of the youth in our schools. We work together in the WINGS Men program, and I tell you, I haven't come across a guy like him, you know, in many, many years. Throughout my life, you know, there were a few men, I think, who can compared to Officer Yeager. He's just done so much for the community and has been a tremendous inspiration to the youth and trying to help them to avoid incarceration and drugs and alcohol and really just to live a good life and to find, a great career and family life. And so today's show is dedicated to Officer John Yeager, who is, again, our partner in the WINGS Men program. We also want to just highlight that today's show is especially dedicated to the WINGS men who have graduated, who are serving time upstate, and there are so many of them. We have actually over 1,400 or 1,500 men have come through the program in the Philadelphia prison system in the last 6 years, and many of them have come home. Many of them have gone upstate to serve time, and some of them have actually passed on. So today we want to just remember those folks who have passed on in the WINGS program, but also for the many who are serving time upstate waiting to re-enter. So again, I want to thank you for the opportunity here to be at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank Dale and Jane for this broadcast and also for the Connolly Foundation, who has contributed greatly to our financial support, and for Wells Fargo, who helped us out with the WINGS Home at Torsdale and Bly Avenue, which now houses 3 WINGS men. And we also want to thank our private donors who have helped to sustain us for the many years. In May, we actually begin our 17th year in my father's vineyard, and the WINGS program is now in its 24th year. So we are moving forward year after year and helping to make an impact on other people. The WINGS program itself is doing very well. And we're now in session 15 in the WINGS program out of 20 sessions. And we have several graduations planned for the last week in April. And approximately 40 to 50 men will graduate. And some of them will come home. Some of them will continue to wait for trial or sentencing. But we are basically working with about 80 to 90 men every 10 weeks at 3 facilities. And the WINGS program is in its 6th year in the Philadelphia prison system. We actually conclude our 6th year, begin our 7th year in August of this year. And so we have made an impact. We get more than 320 men a year to help them to re-enter successfully and to get off probation and to, you know, live a good life. Business, family life, community service is all part of the WINGS program, but also spiritual growth, helping the men find their peace and find direction is a great you know, objective for us in the 50-hour, 10-week, and 20-session program or curriculum that we offer in the WINGS program. And WINGS, you know, began in 1993. We've been around a long time. We've been to 100 schools, 8 prisons, and more than half a dozen recovery homes. We've also been, you know, to places like Greaterford Prison, working on death row, which is a very, very unique experience. And it's really been a mission for us. And many years ago, I was in the gift shop over at St. Bernadette's Church in Hollywood, Florida, visiting my dad, and I picked up a little stone football on a mounted on a base, and it says on that base, it says, "Those who run with a purpose will reach their goal first." And I've had that more than 20 years, and I just tell you that this is a real mission. It has a purpose. It's important, and this is something that we definitely want to continue with. The inmate reentry work, the recovery work that we do in the WINGS program. And today, as we you know, get started, we're going to get Mr. Gary Ruffin on the phone with us. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, pal. And thank you so much for taking the time to call in and to be with us on Holy Spirit Radio. You're with us on Finding God in Prison, and this is our 14th broadcast. So with that, I want to invite you to you know, sit back, relax, and kind of enjoy the show. But I'd like you to give us a thumbnail sketch of where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going in your life. Tell us a little bit of how you grew up and where you are today.
Well, Joe, kind of funny because, like, I didn't have this conversation with you for, like, so long. Like, so it's just been, like, as far as, like, just the journey and what I had to do to change my way of thinking. It's just been a journey with myself as far as me changing, me having the negative thought and just trying to keep up with everybody else that wasn't doing too good as far as progressing in life in a positive way, you know? So, and what pretty much led me to, you know, with the WINGS program and everything, you know, it was me pretty much with my negative behavior, not doing things that I was supposed to be doing. It was a result in incarceration, you know, and it's not good. It's not good being behind bars, you know. Everything is on hold. It's not just you behind bars. It's your family, too. And it's just a setback for everything. So with that being said, I had to, in order for me to move on with my life, I had to start with me. So where I'm going in my life today, everything is pretty much looking up, you know. I did the WINGS program, the 50 and a half hours, being at CFCF, Philadelphia Prison System, and just not ever missing a day, always sitting there taking notes, always having that circle of trust, that 168 during a week of not being stagnated, always making sure that your meter goes up, that you're doing something to progress yourself, you know, and life, living in failure every day. You know, that's another thing that I've learned in the WINGS program, you know, and I just took everything in consideration and just had to tell myself that I'm not going to continue being a failure. So at the graduation, I was one of the ones that had actually went home on the day of graduation, you know, and it just seemed like God got a plan for me, you know, even if everything was foggy and unclear to me and others just telling me that I had the potential of doing stuff and me not believing in myself to do it. So I just needed a group of men so we can man up and just talk about a whole bunch of things that we need to do in order to progress in our lives. We just don't want to keep being on the same stagnated level. Like, it's time for change. So with that being said, I came home after graduating the program the same day. And within that same month, I was blessed to have a job. And then I'm also about to be enrolled in PTTI for welding and automotive. So it just seemed like everything right now is going up for me. And I just came home this year in February. It's already April. And I'm just getting the ball rolling on a bunch of things. And I'm also just keeping Joe right there, you know, so he can motivate me or just motivate each other so we can keep the ball rolling on this whole situation.
Okay, that's great. It's really a, you know, privilege and a pleasure to have you on the show, Gary. You know, we met in November. You joined the Wings program at CFCF, and then you did the 50 hours. You did graduate. And, you know, as you said, you were one of the first guys ever to come home on the day of graduation. You actually left a slice and a half of pizza on the plate, and nobody could believe that. But... And were called out because you were discharged. And that was a result of my paperwork going into the court at 2 a.m. the night before. And you know, it was received in the morning. And all the guys who were, you know, graduating, some of them who actually were sentenced already, like yourself, were eligible for an early parole. And you actually came out of the graduation ceremony after the actual graduation certificate had been handed to you within a half hour. So it's a powerful thing for me. It's a wonderful thing to see it work. You know, some things don't work. This actually worked, you know. And but I want to, you know, tell you, I'm so happy that we're able to talk about this and to inspire other people. And, you know, Gary, you came home in February after graduation. You actually are now working. And you have a transitional job working, and you're also enrolled in the school to become a welder, which is a tremendous, you know, opportunity as well. And so, you know, you're really succeeding very early on, where some guys are just stagnating for months and even years on the outside, even though they're still outside. You're now taking a proactive stance on your education, your work. And also, you know, in remaining in the Wings program. And so for that, I take my hat off to you and give you, you know, some accolades, because a lot of guys disappear from the Wings program. Yeah. And so this is, you know, a beautiful thing. I want to take you into the classroom now where we were. And this is, I have three of your writing assignments in front of me. And the first one, says... you know, decide what you want to do for a career path. And this is your work right here. It says, when I leave CFCF, I'm planning to go to the CCD for graphic design and business. I also have other plans as well, boxing or CDL or getting a certification for plumbing or roofing. My only problem is getting that push and that taking that first step, you know, the key to life. So, you know, It's not easy to figure out what you want to do, but you've already taken those steps. You're working. You are in school to become a welder, and and this is, you know, very, very positive that you've put it on paper and you're moving forward. The other thing we want to put out there is your reason for success in reentry. Now, how many times have you been arrested in your life?
Maybe over 5-6 times.
Okay, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
All right. And how much time have you served inside?
Altogether, a little over 4 years, going on 5.
Right, 4 to 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's really, a long time. This is your reason for success in reentry. For me, I've always had a problem not finishing things. My future is uncertain, unclear, and the road has been hazy. To understand anything that I do from here on out, is to understand myself. The things I want, the people I want, and the places I want, like to come after. My biggest fear is change. The word itself could be good or it could be bad. Today, reentry helps build my readiness, willingness, and self-esteem, and being more open-minded to my characteristic and or my talents I thought I never possess, so that one day I can be a captain of my own craft. And so, basically, you know, you what is your reason you want to succeed in reentry? That's a question we ask all of our men. Remember, it's session 10. And so your reason has got to be important. It's something you have passion for. And I want you to just reiterate that in your own words this morning. Why do you want to succeed this time? You've spent 4 to 5 years. You've had 5 or 6 arrests. Why would you want to succeed this time?
I want to succeed because I have a family. I have a woman that I love deeply, and I want to marry. We are engaged, by the way, but she's been with me this entire ride, and it has come to a point, like, you know, people get tired of seeing, you know, history repeating itself without change for the better, you know. And with that being said, for my family piece, you know, and not just with that, myself, I had to get my mind right. You know, I had a problem with just I don't know, not listening, not following directions, just wanting to do my own thing. And also, time waits for no man, and I feel as though I wasted a lot of time. And those 4 to 5 years that I wasted, I can't get that back. But I can't dwell on the past. I have to work on my present in order to better my future. And those were the reasons why that I felt though that reentry will help me, and also me to succeed with it.
Okay. That's great. I really appreciate that. You know, the family, you know, making this successful, your family, the woman you love deeply, is important. How old are you, Gary?
I'm 29 years old.
So at 29, you know, you've got another 50 years of good living, you know, and that's an incredible opportunity to do, you know, beautiful things for your family, you know, your future family, your children, grandchildren. And, you know, as you spent 4 to 5 years inside, can you tell us a little bit about the wisdom you've gained from being incarcerated? What have you learned?
Oh, man. I've learned that even in the most hostile environment, you can't never lose focus. You have to walk on a straight path of whatever that you're dealing with, whatever that got you incarcerated in the first place. And while you're in there, you have to also be humble and be true to yourself. See, with me, I always stay to myself. You know, they'll have, you know, some kind of activity, you know, in there. But at the same time, playing cards, playing chess, watching TV, that's not really going to help your mind at all. So for me, the things that I've done, always was willing to just get up and get out of my cell or getting off the block or the pod, was to come down wings and to be with some positive guy, because you're in a negative environment. With that being said, I always made sure that I kept my physical health up to par, always, you know, working out, playing basketball, but also getting my mind right. I would read the Bible here and there. Doing some studying or anything just to keep my negative thoughts in check and just to think positive. Because once you're in there, it's just, oh man, it's like you're a caged animal. They already look at you like that. But you don't have to be an animal. You're not an animal. You're a human being, you know? So with that being said, you just have to just dig deep inside yourself and look far beyond of what you are, of what your situation is, and knowing that one day you will come home. But not only, it's not just about when you come home, what are you going to do once you're home? That's what a journey begins. That's where it's really, it's harder. It's harder out here than it is in prison. You get bills. You don't have to worry about bills or anything like that. But out here, it's a different ballgame. So what are you going to do once you're out of prison to stay focused, to make sure that you're going to stay on the right path so you wouldn't go back in that place? Because that place is for for nobody.
Okay. Gary, tell me, how old were you when you first got arrested?
When I first got arrested, I was I was 11 years old, and I was in the juvenile system. My second arrest, I was at the age of either 19 or 20.
Uh-huh.
What were you about to say, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say, at 11 years old, was that a scary thing for you?
Yeah, because this was something I wasn't accustomed to. This was my first time going inside of a place like this. And I didn't know what was going to be the outcome of anything. You know, I mean, I only did 6 months in there, but still, at 11 years old, it's like, what is this? They got places for people my age at the time. You know, it's like this. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but, man.
Yeah. What was the charge?
What was the charge? Simple assault.
Okay. And then at 19 again, the second time, 8 years had passed. Did you graduate high school?
Yes, I had graduated high school. I had a job that I worked for. I was security for one of them. I wouldn't say transitioning schooling, but it was, you know, one of those schools that kids don't want to go to public school because they either was having problems in there. It was like a learning alternative school, you know, that was under Bridgeway Academy. And they had a site that was actually my foster mother's church. And that's where I graduated from. After I graduated, I started working there.
Okay. As you grew up, did you have your mother and father, your biological parents, with you?
At one point, I did. But it was like, it's kind of like how you was, Joe. You only seen what your pops only a couple of times out of your whole life, I think how you was explaining it to me.
That's right. 3 times in 18 years until 28. That's correct.
Right. So it's kind of like the same thing for with my pop. Now, with my biological mother, we still have a relationship. But it's been a long time since she's been there. But she's been there more than my father.
Okay. All right. I want to take you back into the classroom, my friend. And I've got in front of me the difference between a boy and a man. Which of these statements apply directly to you? And you wrote down, men are time balanced, having knowledge of the past, understanding of the present, and a vision for the future. Why? I'm not getting younger. I have given more time to jails than myself. It's time for a change in my life. I owe that much for my future wife and kids. I'm hurting them each day in this, as I'm in this place. Number two, in which of these areas do you need to work on the most and why? Boys invent excuses for failure. Men produce strategies for success. What I have done time for has affected me being with my family. I can't live with them, can't be around them. So it's hard to help them and be a family. Plus, I've been looking for work for a long time, and it's just been hard on a lot of people. I need to apply myself more than what I've been doing in the past. I need to gain trust from others and given a chance. Allow people to know I'm not the same person I was 17 years ago. I'm 29 now, and it's hard. Number three, are you more of a captain or more of a co-pilot, and why? One point in my life, it felt like I was never on the plane. I was a captain before, and I want to be a captain once again. I've had things that a man is supposed to have in his life. At one point, money, cars, house, etc. Now, all I have is family. No income, no house, no car. That's why it feels like I'm not on the plane. And so you have a request here to speak to me one-on-one. Well, now you're doing it. And I just tell you that, you know, I really appreciate you doing that. You know, the difference between a boy and a man is huge in the Wings program, and I introduced it on day one. And we all have to grow into our manhood, our captainship. That's what this is all about. This program, Wings, is designed to help men to embrace responsibility in family life, business, community service, and to help them to grow and succeed in life, succeed in reentry. And, you know, success in reentry is the number one goal in the Wings program. And what that means, Gary, as you know, is for our listeners, is that when you come home, you do not go back inside. You come home. Right. You succeed, and then we, right, if you have a probation, we work to reduce the probation down to zero by building a success story in your first and second and third year. And do you have probation?
Yes, I do.
How long is your probation?
Until August of 2019.
Okay, August 2019. So the goal for me is, with you on the outside now, is to help you to succeed in your education, your work, saving money, get more stability and more credibility for the first year, and then we make a letter to the court showing them your success, your stability, and requesting for reduction in that time. And we continue to move forward. And with that, you know, that's a major objective for us. Now, you've been to Drexel University a couple of times, and I want to ask you, whether you're inside or outside, what are you getting and what have you gotten from the Wings program?
I've gotten a whole lot from the Wings program. I mean, it just changed for the better. And I believe that that's what I need in my life. You know, just hearing other people's success stories make me just want to just say, you know what, I'm tired. Let me, you know, if they did it, then I know I can do it. And then hearing the percentage of people who come into the Wings program, and then people, like you said, people have died in the Wings program. People just use the Wings program to get out of prison and then don't, you know, finish, you know. And the Wings program set your mind on how to be a winner, how to be a man, not just a man, a woman too.
Mm-hmm.
How to just progress in your life, you know, like you was telling me about that stagnating line. You know, you always want to do something each and every day to achieve your goal. Like you said, the 168. You know, Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day. You have to do something. can't just be sitting around just letting that time just go by. That's where the stagnation line is at. It's at the bottom. You're not making no progress.
Exactly right. And WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. If you're not growing, then you're stagnating, and stagnation breeds depression. And so we have to continue to grow spiritually, mentally, physically, residentially, educationally, financially. There are many areas of growth. We've got to grow out of things like depression that hold us back, anger. We've got to grow out of that to live a more peaceful life, a more productive life, you know. And right. So, you know, it's very, very good. Now, you know, we haven't had too many extensive conversations, but we've had a couple. And right. Spiritually speaking, you know, this program is called Finding God in Prison. Can you speak a little bit about your own spirituality?
Well, on that, for me personally, at one point in my life, I just felt so like God wouldn't listen, you know. And maybe it was just me. You know, I'm not even going to say me. It is, you know, because he was always, you know, and I just felt as though that I didn't have that connection with my higher power where it should be. And that's because all the negative things that was happening in my life, you know, I wasn't taking the initiative to do things. He's already laid out the format for me. I was just supposed to walk on that path. He's guiding me now. I mean, from where I'm at now to where I was back then, I'm not stagnating no more. I'm going up. I'm in the green. And I want to keep it that way. And I owe it all to God. You know, and that's one part of my life where I felt as though that I was falling off on. And I just had to regain that connection. Once I did that, I had to keep that connection. I have to keep my faith. You know, because the devil is always working. You know, he's always trying to pull us down. But we have to maintain and always move forward with our faith and keeping God in our heart, our body, our mind.
Well, that's
how we right there. That was deep, Joe.
I appreciate your honesty, your sincerity in talking about God and our Creator.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, what God says to do and not to do is through and through each session of the WINGS program. We always come back to that. What God says to do brings the blessings of obedience. What he says not to do will bring the consequences, which can be, you know, minor to very severe. And
right.
But the way you laid that out, and I appreciate that, you owe everything to God, and so do I. And
yeah.
And this is where we have to get. We have to get our minds right, you know. And this is... you know, Holy Spirit Radio that you're on right here. This is, you know, no coincidence here. This is a radio
right.
station that goes out to many counties and has been in operation, you know, for many years, since 1999. And actually, I've been a host here many times and also a guest as well. And I actually came on as a guest after I left my career in the spring of 1999 as a guest,
mm-hmm.
telling the story of how I left my career as a pilot to do more of God's work, how God was calling me for 5.5 years. I came on a show called Voices for the Unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just like you said, I owe everything to God for a second chance, for a new life. And basically, you know, The Wings program has been blessed with 24 years of work and service. Yeah. Over 100,000 people have actually come through Wings through 100 schools, 8 prisons, radio and television. And, you know, today, you know, we're talking to you, and this is, you know, your opportunity. And I really commend you for your witness, your testimony to your own spirituality. And here's what God says in Luke 1:37. He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So based on that, all things are possible with God. And, you know, so where do you see yourself, Gary, 1 year from today?
I see myself with a certification, with a cert on either with the welding or with the automotive part, or being a driver on the road. You know, I see myself helping the community, you know, and getting my family and friends involved. I see myself still being in the Wings program. Okay. I see myself not being on probation no more. I see myself actually becoming a facilitator, learning the steps that I need to help myself in order to help others that been in the same situation that I was in. I want to motivate people. I want to help people.
Okay. Excellent. And, you know, I've helped a lot of people, but very often people help me as well after we've gotten their work done. And so I look forward to you being a facilitator in the Wings program. Right now, a previous guest who was on our show, one of our success stories, Kevin Williams, who graduated from the CCP. You met Kevin.
I met him last week.
Yeah, at Drexel.
Yeah.
Kevin was on our radio show. He's also been to 3 high schools in the Wings Men program with Officer John Yeager. And he's also now becoming our facilitator at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center, where more than 1,000 people will be held in May. He will attend the training and be certified, and he will be at PIC on Monday evenings from 5:30 to 8 and 3:30 to 6. And he will conduct the 20-session, 50-hour program, and I will assist him in getting started and help him to, you know, perfect his facilitation. What makes the facilitator position unique is that you get to share your own story within that 50-hour segment. You'll also have access to anything that I've said in the 50 hours. And right. 10 weeks, 20 sessions. And I give you the tools. So I look forward to you, you know, filling those shoes, because I would like to have more men who not only guest speakers, you know, but facilitators. And we've had multiple wingmen who have come in who are off probation, who are doing well in education and work, and now become a facilitator. And we've had them as guest speakers, Jacoby McFadden, who is now 6 years a wingman. And he's working at ShopRite. He's doing very well at ShopRite as assistant kitchen manager. And he's a father of 2 kids, 1 autistic. Also, Kevin Williams is doing well. He's studying for his bachelor's degree. He's on a scholarship after graduating from the CCP with a 3.93 grade point average. And he's been a guest speaker at CFCF and at your class. He came into your class.
Yeah.
Yep. And also at Drexel, he's helped out. So he's actually now living at the Wings home. And as we help him to rebuild, he's helping us and is becoming a facilitator. So, you know, getting off probation is one of the requirements to go back inside. And that's one of my goals for all of our men, especially for you today as we talk about it. And, you know, you're now working at Wendy's, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how many hours a week are you working?
We're getting about 8.5 hours per day. I'm seeing maybe about, give or take, 30 hours.
Okay. All right, and that's a great start. That's 30 hours a week just to start. And, you know, in the Wings program, we advocate that you, you know, find transitional work in 3 to 30 days, and you've done it. You know, we also advocate that you look for long-term employment through education, getting a certification, a license or a degree, and you're enrolled to do that. And can you tell me about the welder's program, how long that is?
You said the welder program?
The welder, to become a welder.
Program. Yeah. Okay. But that program, you have to have 600 hours, and that is about 4.5 to 6 months. And you get your, it's hands-on. You get your, they help you go into a company after you graduate. They're already connected with a few companies. And I would have to get more information about it because I just, you know, talked to the people like not too long ago. But that's just like pretty much the basic format. What we're doing right now is working on my financial team and everything so we get the ball rolling. Okay. And they do, to enroll, you have to, it's every third Thursday of the month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. That's great. That's exciting. We have, been talking now for about 35 minutes, Gary, and for our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Joe Montone, your host, and Finding God in Prison. And I just want to say we're on 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And it's, again, a privilege and a pleasure to be here on the air where we've been many times. This is our 14th broadcast. We're talking to Mr. Gary Ruffin, a graduate of the WINGS program who is succeeding in his first couple of months and moving forward with enrollment into a welder's program. Also, he's working 30 hours a week at Wendy's, who is a second-chance employer. And, I just like to talk about success stories. You know, we've had 10 people who passed in the last 4 years in the WINGS program. We've had two of them last year who passed on on Holy Spirit Radio, okay? And I have their CDs. That was Sarah Benneker and also Bob Beck, who came on the air. And, Bob was the founder of the recovery home down at Frankfurt and Pratt, where we went for 7 years and did the WINGS program. And, he died last year. And also Sarah Benneker died last February. And she was on the previous November. And she had a tremendous history of incarceration and also drug addiction, prostitution. And all of that caught up with her, and she died of AIDS. And so, but before she died, she came to 3 high schools. She also came on the radio and gave her testimony. We have that CD. And basically at 34 years old, she's out of time. But I just tell you that you have the world in front of you. At 29 years old, making the right steps, with God, all things are possible. And so the plan of action that you have in front of you for education, work, and for your family is very important. I want to ask you about your mom now. You mentioned that your mom has done a lot of community service and helped some people. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. That's my foster mother, Donna Jones, Reverend Donna Jones. She has a church at the Berean Institute that's located on 19th and Girard. That's in North Philadelphia. She has been in her field of work for about over 30 years now. She has a PhD. And she's just like everything to me. I give a big round of applause to that woman. She took me in at the age of 14, and I've been with her ever since, and I'm 29 now. She's helped me with my schooling, trying to help me out on my career path. Actually, the welding program, PTTI, is in at the same location at the Berean Institute. So, what she does, she has helped kids get back in school, get their GED/high school diploma. She's still doing that work today. She goes on a bunch of retreats. She protests for, people wrongly accused, incarcerated people, and et cetera. She feeds the homeless on Fridays. I don't know if she has been doing that part recently, but I know that I have helped her in the past by doing that almost every Friday when she does do it. And she is, she knows, forgot his name. But he was a friend of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he passed away about a couple of years ago, but, he lived in Denver, Colorado, and she used to go out and they used to go around to different cities and everything, different churches, just to help out the community and whatnot. So she's still doing it, and she has done a whole lot, not just for me, but for almost the entire city.
Very nice.
So, right.
She's a real role model to you, and I'm sure she's very happy that you're home and starting to, get your life on track. And, it's like you said in the beginning, you mentioned that when you're inside, when you're incarcerated, your family's in there too. You know, they actually are waiting, that waiting and the hardships of going to court and visiting and that separation brings a lot of depression and sadness. There's no question about it. I've been doing this work a long time. And I've seen, quite a bit. And so, your job now is to help to make that right. And, in Session 15 in the Wings program, we highlight men of faith who did extraordinary things, men and women of faith. Remember that, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we highlighted people like Henry Flagler, who built the railroad from Key West all the way up to Jacksonville, Florida, and built churches and the cities and schools and hospitals and housing developments. We highlighted Mother Teresa, who built more than 500 homes for the homeless, for AIDS victims, and for orphanages. Amazing woman who started in her early 40s and worked till her late 80s, and more than 2,000 women who worked with her. We also talked about Martin Luther King Jr., who was given the Nobel Peace Prize Medal of Honor with the Civil Rights Act of 64, which passed, and ending segregation, which has nothing to do with what God says to do, but everything to do with what he says not to do. And when that passed, I was 4 years old, and Martin Luther King Jr., was killed. He was a martyr for the cause, but he was a finisher. In your writings, you mentioned that I really haven't finished things, that you weren't finishing things in your life, and you need to do that. And he was a finisher. He got the job done, as did Henry Flagler, building that railroad from Jacksonville to Key West. It took him 17 years almost, and Mother Teresa, who worked for 40 years or more, for those homes for the homeless and AIDS victims, more than 500 of them. You and I, Gary, have to be finishers. We have to get the job done. But these people were rooted in the Word of God. They brought the love of God and the peace of God to other people. And that's why I do what I do in the Wings program, because, God has given me an opportunity to touch hearts and minds. And we've been now 24 years into the Wings program, and now you're part of it. And I'd like to know, if you've thought about how will God use you once you get your faith right, as he did with Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa and Flagler and St. Paul, who was a persecutor of many Christians, who got, converted through the loss of his eyesight for 3 days. And the St. Paul saw the power of God and in return of his eyesight, and basically wrote 13 books of the Bible. How will he use you in your life? That's the question we always ask our men at the end of that segment. And have you given any thought about that?
Well, all I can say is that he's given me the blueprint. And all I had to do was build the foundation. Once I've completed that, then I know there's going to be so many other opportunities for me. And he's already given me that. It's just me needing to take the initiative, just like all those superstars that you just named. You know, I'm pretty sure there was days that they was like, you know what, I'm tired of this. But they had a plan, and they executed it. And God was right with them. So with those motivational stories, I know that I can move forward and I can progress and walk in the same path that those people had done.
Excellent. And that's it's a journey, isn't it?
It's definitely
a journey through life, and you know, God's trying to, you know, prepare us and to steer us in the right direction. He says in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines each step. And, you know, so this is, you know, really a great discussion this morning. You know, we're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and this is Finding God in Prison. We're talking with Mr. Gary Ruffin, a graduate of the Wings program. And I want to read to you, Gary, a letter, a card that I got from one of our graduates at PIC. He says, Dear Mr. Montone, being in your class has taught me a lot. I am honored and grateful for the things I have learned during these 20 sessions, mostly about being a forgiving person and also trustworthy, responsible, dependable, and putting my Father God first. Once released from this prison facility, I vow to continue to be a captain and attend more of your sessions. The Wings program, what a class, what a trustworthy teacher, instructor you are. May God bless you. And his name is Mikael. And I remember him in class. He wrote a tremendous business plan for a business for himself in a restaurant. And as men come through the Wings program, you know, my heart has become more and more compassionate, you know, and trying to help them to get home early and then to stay home, to get off probation and to get out of the system completely. We have another guy who's serving life upstate, Gary. He came on through the Wings program several years ago and graduated, was a speaker three times at our facilities inside, but then was sentenced to life. He says this, Dear Joe, first I would like to say thank you for all of your support and being a good friend to me. I want to say thank you for supporting me at my court date as well. It really meant a lot to me. I'd like to send you and your family joyful, happy, and blessings be yours this Christmas season. And thank you once again. I am still forever a wingman with God's love, Greg. And so, you know, this is the work we do. Some people come home and some people are going away for life in the Wings program. And this is an opportunity that, you know, you have today to do a tremendous bit for yourself, for your future family, the woman you love deeply. And at 29 years old, you know, you got the world by the tail. Tell me about your day today. What is it that you're doing today?
Well, today I have to go to work from like 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. So, that can take a little bit of rest. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I did follow through with the getting on the radio. And I appreciate it deeply because this is the first time that I ever did anything like this. And it's just something new to me, but I'm enjoying myself.
Well, I appreciate it. And I want to thank you for getting up early and compromising your sleep to be with us on the air. And it means a great deal. I know coming home, you know, at 4 or 5 a.m. and then waking up, you've done a great job on the radio. And, you know, I know that God is going to bless you today and every day because of your commitment to, you know, the Wings and, more importantly, the commitment to Him. and to doing the right thing, you know, for other people. You're a stand-up guy, Gary. And for coming on the radio, I just want to tell you, I'm going to get you a CD of this program, and I'd like to you to share it with your stepmom, your foster mom, and just allow God's work to continue through that CD, because your story, I believe, is very important. The most powerful gift you can ever give to a person is the love of God. But the second most powerful is, I believe, your own life story, which incorporates so many years of events to touch hearts and change minds. And we do that, as you know, often in the Wings program. And we only have another 2 minutes to go, but I want to thank you for being with us on the air. And I wish you a great day and a good week and a fabulous year. And we're going to see each other probably on Saturday, hopefully Saturday morning at Drexel. But I wish you, a great day. God bless you. And thanks again for being with us.
And I appreciate you, Joe Montone. For everybody that's listening, man, this is a real deal, man.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gary.
No problem,
did you want to say something else? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's fine.
Okay.
I just want to I'll see you tomorrow, and I wish you the best, and God bless.
Thank you. God bless now. Take care.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Gary Ruffin, graduate of the Wings program, and really a great story, and a guy 29 who served 4 to 5 years, who's done very well since he's come out in the last 2 months. We only have another minute to go, and I want to thank our listeners for joining us today and attending, through the airwaves, Finding God in Prison. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back today, and also for the Conley Foundation for their financial support, and, of course, Wells Fargo for their support of the Wings Home, and our private donors who were out there anonymously. We would not be doing any of this without your support for so many years. We really do appreciate that, and we only have a few seconds to go, but it's been a privilege and a pleasure to be here. My name is Joe Montone, your host. May God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio on Finding God in Prison.